It's time for Sports Lit 101, as we welcome back to the show the author of Wounded Lions, Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky, and the crisis in Penn State athletics, Ron Smith. Thank you for coming back to the show to visit with us again.
Be glad to be on. I'll send you some sunny weather up there.
We would appreciate that very much. Yeah, we've been in and out of the clouds today. So recent news out of Penn State, the convictions of some of those who were in a position to oversee the program and do something about the problems, does that provide some closure for the victims, or is this story a long way from being overrun?
I don't think there's any closure that came from those trials, because the people that wanted them sentenced, like President Spanier or Athletic Director Tim Curley or Vice President Gary Schultz, wanted bigger penalties, and a whole lot of others didn't think anybody is guilty of anything. So there's this unbelievable divide, and it's often divide between those people who are true Penn Staters and especially alums and the other people. And as far away you get from Penn State and central Pennsylvania, the more they feel these people were really guilty. And the people closer to it that knew these people or were fans of Penn State don't think they were. So there's no closure.
Pennsylvania obviously is a state where football is big. I know I played Division III football there, my son Division I football there, and what you said about Happy Valley and how the dynamic works, why is it, do you think, that Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, places like this have sort of, this story seems to have gone away there? You know, I'm not seeing it so much in the national media. Well, it's really not that far from them.
Well, it only goes away after certain events occur. For instance, just a couple of weeks ago, Sue Paterno and the Paterno family had a lawsuit against the NCAA, and that was she dropped out of that lawsuit. That was in the newspapers, whether it was the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Philadelphia Inquirer or the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It was pretty much everywhere. It may not have flown up to Bangor, Maine, but it was all around here.
Yeah, I was in Wheeling, West Virginia, actually, when that came out and people were talking about it. I guess what I didn't phrase that last question very well, but it seems that the national radar, this whole idea of what exactly happened, falls off, and it's more not trying to really determine what actually happened is what are the costs going to be. I mean, do you feel like this investigation got where it was supposed to get, or did it just quit at some point when they said enough is enough?
Well, it's a very strange thing, because I'm writing another book-length manuscript called Nailed to the Cross. actually, I'm changing it to Nailed to the Crossbar, as in football, the NCAA and the consent decree. What happened after this thing, after the penalties, and after the trials and that kind of thing, what happened to Penn State? And one of the big things is the massive cost that's going to reach, I believe, very close to $1 billion to Penn State. Right now, it's even Penn State, which isn't going to give all the figures, it's over $250 million. Cost to Penn State, and I have it figured much higher than that, with all the new lawyers that have hired, new faculty members that have been hired, new administrators that many new administrators to administer things that came out of the consent decree. I have it estimated at somewhere around $1 billion, maybe a little more than that.
Well, Ron, was it the severity of those penalties that contributed to, in many ways, the denial of the hardcore Penn State fans? If it had been something that was certainly not as unprecedented, would people have been more willing to accept part of the responsibility being with Joe Paterno, the coaching staff, and the university as a whole?
Well, the major one that got upset with alums, I don't happen to be an alum, but with alums, was the 111 victories taken away from Penn State that were Joe Paterno's, and one other victory that was taken away after Paterno was fired. That is the thing that caused many people, and they have bumper stickers up here all saying, return our 111 or 112 wins. Taking the scholarships away obviously had some impact, and if we hadn't come back so quickly to do having a pretty good team, it would have been even greater complaints by Penn State fans. It's mostly the Penn State fans. Most others, as I look at it, think there was a cover-up by Penn State administrators, these four administrators, including Joe Paterno, who has passed away not long after the Sandusky scandal broke. That is, many people believe that, and they felt that they were covering up and not paying any attention to the children who were abused by Jerry Sandusky. And that is, by the way, you get from Penn State, the greater that feeling is. Around here, it's funny. You mentioned Wounded Lions, the book about Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky and the crises in Penn State athletics. In there, before it was printed, I had 5 pages of criticism, mostly by Penn State alums, because they read a blurb that came out of the University of Illinois Press that was a little overstated, and they accused me of all things. I didn't have a death threat, like some people have had, but a lot of accusing me of not knowing what I was writing about, and wanting to take me to court over the injustice that was occurring because of what I wrote. So it's a fanatical group, but it would be fanatical on the other side if people hadn't sort of forgotten about this and figured that it's more fun to pick on President Trump.
You were just looking at
which
a picture.
Which is pretty easy to do.
You know,
I'm sure you can do it, and I can do it.
Last year, Penn State's men's hockey team completed a meteoric rise into the level of the top NCAA hockey programs through a gift, in part because they were gifted with a tremendous amount of money and a great new facility. Do you think that Penn State has learned anything about big-time college athletics that will make that a situation, will prevent that situation from morphing into what happened with football, to being isolated, to becoming a real feature? I mean, they're on the cusp of winning a national championship. They could be that good very soon, and they came from nowhere. Or, as a friend of mine who said rather cynically, do you think that's they're building that up to keep the pressure off elsewhere?
That was going to build up anyway when Pergola gave out of oil gas money, gave over $100 million to a program, just like if the head of Microsoft gives $400 million to Oregon.
Yeah.
Things are going to improve. That is a beautiful facility. We're located in between the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that's pretty big in Pennsylvania, and the Philly team, and this is a big place for ice hockey, and I don't think it's going to morph into anything. Here, I'm a cynic about intercollegiate athletics, despite the fact that I was on the basketball team and the baseball team at Northwestern University, and then played a little pro baseball. I'm a big time fan of really good athletics, but I'm a cynic about a lot of programs and how they become good. I came to Penn State in 1968, 2 years after Joe Paterno became head coach. So I've been here a long time. I always questioned whether something negative was happening at Penn State. And one of the reasons why I was probably never put on an important intercollegiate athletic committee to either choose a coach or something, because they didn't trust me because I was cynical about things. But in my estimation, Penn State, before the Sandusky scandal and even after it, is probably about the cleanest big-time athletic program in America. And I'm a cynic.
Right. Well, so, that was what I was going to ask you, because prior to this, my understanding is Penn State never even had a major NCAA investigation. I mean, it was always held up as the school. This is the way you should behave. I'm a cynic myself, and that's why this thing really broke my heart, because I thought, oh, God, if it can happen there, it's happened anywhere.
That's why I wrote the book, because I was really upset that it happened. I happened to know Jerry Sandusky. He came a year after I came. We were in the same building, so I knew him a little bit. I knew almost all the other football coaches, not real well, but I knew them. I liked Jerry Sandusky the best of all of them. He was the nicest person to be around, not knowing what he might, other parts of his personality were like. And I knew Joe Paterno a little bit. He was hard to know, and he was not a particularly likable person. He was a bully. He was sort of pompous. He popped off. And if you're in the building with him, that stuff comes out. If you're out there in the public somewhere, you can look at it and say, boy, that guy is great on television. He must be the most wonderful coach in the world. He wants his players to graduate, which he did. And he did not break very many rules. He broke a few, not major ones. We had never had in any sport a major violation of NCAA rules. That's why it was impossible for the NCAA to give us the death penalty, even though they told our innocent new president, Rod Erickson, that you might get the death penalty. It was impossible by their own rules to do that.
Well, I really appreciate you coming back on, Ron. And when the new book is ready, please let us know. Excuse me, because we're looking forward to reading it and having you back again sometime.
That would be fine. And I enjoyed this little talk with you people up in Maine, one of my favorite states.
Well, come visit us, too.
I wouldn't mind living there. And in fact, if it gets worse, I'm going to go live in Canada.
Well, you know, Bruce is trying to sell a house, so if you're interested in it.
Yeah, I have a house for sale.
Where?
In Eddington, Maine, and yeah, I can give you a good deal because, you know, I've got some Pennsylvania roots, too. My wife's from there, so we can work something out.
I'm one quarter Canadian, so Maine gets pretty close.
Yes, we do.
If we need to get across the border, you can lead the way.
I can get you there. My French will get us through the frontier.
Thanks again,
good
Ron.
You, Bruce. Have a good day.
Thank you. Ron Smith, the author of Wounded Lions, with us here on Downtown.